I'd like to ask you to turn to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. This is a verse that should be familiar to us by now. It's a verse that is the conference theme verse. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they have overcome him by reason of the blood of the Lamb, and by reason of the word of their testimony, and have not loved their life even unto death. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We know once again your words are spirit and life. And we say again, like Peter said on that day when so many walked away and were offended, he said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." So, Lord, once again, we come to you and ask you to be with us during this time of ministry, just as you've been with us this morning, that you would open your word to us in a real and living way. Unless you speak and make known what is on your heart, we are convinced our time is of no benefit. But if you speak, if you arrest us with your word, if you open to us what the Spirit says to the churches, then we are more than helped. So we ask you, Lord, to quicken your word as we come to you, and ask you to be exalted as we gathered this morning in your precious name. Well, we have a whole group of people standing in the back. You're welcome. You all can come and have a seat. You don't have to stand. You may get weary. Well, I've been asked to give a short word. I'll emphasize that. I know some of you think that'll be the first miracle of the day. I emphasize a short word. The more the brothers talked to me, the shorter it got. You know, first it was 30 minutes, and then it was 20 minutes, and then they share something, you know. But so, you know, first things are always important to me, so we'll see what the Lord has. But as we are preparing for next week for the family conference, I wanted to just share something that I believe is part of the burden that the Lord laid upon my heart. Now, there's a danger in that, because some of you won't be coming to the family conference. And you may think that this word has nothing to do with you and may be convinced this is nap time. Well, it's not. I believe, in fact, this burden that the Lord has given us for the family conference is bigger than the family conference. It is for all of us. And as we're before him, we pray that he'll make known to us what is in his heart. Now, the impression that we had, part of this is historical. I'm going to go into the germination of the burden, the generation of the burden. And so maybe just in understanding how the Lord laid this upon our heart, it may be helpful in preparing us. As we were before the Lord last year, as to whether the Lord would have a family conference or not, this issue of spiritual reality came upon our heart. The more we sought the Lord, the more we were impressed with this thought of spiritual reality. And more than that, we began to sense a phrase as we prayed and were before the Lord: spiritual reality, our urgent need. So that's the burden, if the Lord would enable me to bring to you today the thing that is concerning the family conference. As we prayed and gathered last fall with those that helped sponsor the conference, this burden was further reinforced. And the sense of the burden is that we wouldn't just be those that hear great things, but that we would be those that enter into the spiritual reality of those things. It's easy to hear things, but that's not enough. That's not sufficient. So our burden was that we would be those that have spiritual reality. And in fact, the impression that we had was this was our great and urgent need. From this, as we continue to pray, this overall burden for the conference came, and a title is They Overcame. You see, in the end, spiritual reality is those who enter into the Spirit of the Lord's life in a way that their results. They don't just know things. In the end, they overcome. And in the end, they know something in their life that is a living witness. And that's what he's looking for in his people. So this burden of spiritual reality, our urgent need, is the initial impression that was laid on our heart. I was asked to put together an introduction for the conference, and I don't know how many of you have gone to the website for the Christian Family Conference and skipped all the initial part and went on and registered for the conference and hope you get a good room. Well, I hope you didn't do that. I hope you read the introduction, because we tried to put together a thought that made this impression real. And hopefully, as we laid it before the brethren, it would become an issue of prayer. So let me read to you this theme titled, They Overcame. It says this: we have been privileged to gather these many years to hear about the eternal purpose of God. Over and over, our focus has been this single important theme that we can also describe as the testimony of Jesus, or the whole... Well, gee, I can't read that. I read what? I'll keep. As the testimony of Jesus, or the whole counsel of God. Do you have Zoom? Okay, that's good. We believe that many have been helped by the word of the Lord through various vessels. Our times of prayer and fellowship during these gatherings. As a result, many adults, young people, and children have been touched by the Lord. This year, as we gather, we are impressed with an urgent need. It is the sensing that to just know about these things is not sufficient in itself. But we must be brought into the reality of it. Our lives must be captured by it, and as a result, that purpose must be expressed in the lives of God's people as ones who overcome. And, quote unquote, have the testimony of Jesus. Therefore, as we prepare to come together this year, we are impressed with the word of the Apostle John in Revelation 12, verse 11. And they have overcome him by reason of the blood of the Lamb, and by reason of the word of their testimony, and have not loved their life even unto death. Only in this way will lives not only be touched and things understood, but lives will be changed, and we will enter into the reality of it. So this is the way we tried to set forth the burden. We're so thankful that many have been helped, but in the end, we want those that really lay hold of what we've been laid hold of. We don't want to just be well taught. In the end, we want to be well caught. In the end, we don't want to just have more knowledge of eternal things, be able to talk about the eternal purpose of God in all of its dimensions. In the end, we want the eternal purpose of God to get into us, and change us from the inside out. You know, it's common to become religious as a Christian. We see it all the time. You can accumulate some activity and some teaching, and you try to do some things, but brothers and sisters, the days we're coming into, that's not enough. What we need is a living relationship, a life of union, and a life of communion. We can have an imitation life. That's not enough. What we need is an intimate life. That will suffice. We can be outwardly fashioned rather than inwardly conformed to the image of the Son of God. There can be something in us that looks right, but deep inside of us, we aren't changed at all. So that is the impression as we come to the conference. I hope it seems just a little bit sobering. It is. Those of us that have been privileged to hear so much, those of us that have been privileged to hear great things from our dear brothers, are now being pressed more deeply with a challenge. Will we enter into those things? Will, in the end, God be able to say about us those two simple words, they overcame? So that's the essence of the burden. I think this burden has been reinforced by the messages on spiritual exercise. Many have been helped. I think it's the same thought. That's why I'm convinced this is not just a conference theme. Our brother Stephen has shared these burdens with us on spiritual exercise, and in refreshing simplicity, many of us have discovered that that thing which seems so impossible, the Christian life, is possible because of Christ Jesus. That's spiritual reality. That's our urgent need. We've also been convicted here in Richmond lately about this word to the church in Ephesus, Ephesus in Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. You know, we've heard many words about leaving our first love. But when our brother Stephen returned from the trip to the Far East and shared about lessons learned and refused to just give a testimony, we were convicted and we were convinced that this word applies to us. We had, in fact, in many ways, had some form, but left our first love. That very testimony of Jesus that we so loved was in jeopardy. The candlestick wasn't taken, but we were being called and convicted and convinced to return to first things and first works. And so, those of you that have been around here know we've spent quite a season with the brothers praying and with the brothers and sisters on Wednesday night about this matter. Now, one thing I want to share with us this morning is the last word to the church. If you turn to Revelation 2 and 3, you'll begin to see that in the Lord's last word to His church, the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, there's a single word and there's a single call. And I think because of that, we ought to pay attention to it. I won't go into all of them, but I'll just read a few. If you look at Ephesians 2, Revelation 2, verse 7, for Ephesus, it says in verse 7, this is how the whole letter, this is the closing word to the church in Ephesus. That word where we were so convicted. It says, "He that has an ear to hear, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. To him that overcomes." That was the word. A single word. And then when you look to all others of the seven churches, you look at Smyrna in Revelation 2:11, the suffering ones. And you look at Pergamos in Revelation 2, verse 17. It says they dwell where the house of Satan is. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if our bulletin board, if we had one out front, like so many have, said on, "We dwell where the house of Satan is"? I can't imagine any visitors showing up. But that was their condition. And there was a last word to them. "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." "He that overcomes" was the word. You can read on and on. You can read about Smyrna, the suffering ones, in Revelation 2:11, or Pergamos. Those, I mentioned Pergamos in 2:7, Thyatira. It said, who knew the depths of Satan? That's amazing to me. This is the church. You can read about Sardis. It says they have a name that they live but are dead in Revelation 3, verses 5 and 6. The same word. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Or you can read about Philadelphia in Revelation 3, 12 and 13. They have a little power, not great power. In that same word, the Spirit of God brought. Do you think it's a word for us? It must be a word for us. Or you can read about Laodicea, the lukewarm church in Revelation 3, 21 and 22. That same word. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what encourages me about this word. Given the condition of the church, you would think the Lord would just give up and say, what's the use? You dwell where Satan dwells? You're lukewarm. You've left your first love. You have a name that you're living, but you're dead. You would think the Lord would say, what's the use? But He didn't. In His loving rebuke, in His trimming of the candlestick, in His trimming of the wick, He was looking for spiritual reality in the midst of His church. It was their urgent need. And He looked into that church for something that looked like Himself. That was a testimony of Jesus, of Himself. And He looked there and He called for it. And then He said those words. These are the Lord's words. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes. Now, when I hear this word about overcoming, I don't know about you, but I sort of think of others and not myself. You know, I've said it before. I've said, well, there's an overcomer. Here's an overcomer, but I'm not an overcomer. I've been called overbearing. I mean, can you imagine? I've even been called overweight. That was before the new me. What will He say of you? Will He say of you in the end? You overcame. Will you be one of those that hears what the Spirit says to the churches and responds? Will you hear the call, he who overcomes. Will it make any difference in your life? The Lord is calling, looking in His church, looking for spiritual reality, impressing us with this need that we're to enter into it and that every resource has been made. I believe this is the urgent call. Now that theme verse in Revelation 12, verse 11, let me say just a few things about this. I always think of overcoming as someone else in some other place. And as I meditated on this verse, single verse in Revelation 12, verse 11, I was so helped. Because you see, this is the mistake I make. I tend to think of overcoming as these super saints, these super human beings. And they're the overcomer. And the rest of us, well, we're just overcome. But the more I read it, the more I discovered it was quite different. These are only those that respond to the call. You know, it's amazing to me that this thing doesn't start. They overcame by their mighty power. That would seem appropriate, wouldn't you think? But it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. I think that tells me one thing. They're not perfect. You know, we would think if the reason we don't overcome is because we don't have enough power. Brothers and sisters, this is the true story. God is not looking for the perfect. He's looking for those that would simply respond to His call and those that would give themselves to Him, and He could do this work in, not the perfect. What encourages me, first of all, is what is said about these ones. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They knew the precious power of the blood of the Lamb. And then when I begin to meditate on that, I think the Bible's full of imperfect people that bore the testimony of God. Think of it. Just we've been thinking about Abraham. Well, Abraham, he's not perfect. Twice he said, "She's my sister." God used that man. And he became the father of faith, the father of a multitude. And we are all children of Abraham. You could go on and on. Think of Jacob. I know that's one of Lance's favorite themes. What a swindler. Do you think for a moment that Jacob was perfect? He wasn't perfect at all. As a matter of fact, he might be the Old Testament definition of imperfection. But yet in the end, God got a hold of him. This is encouragement. In the end, God got a hold of him. And this one became known. He says, "You are no longer Jacob, you are Israel." He became the name of God's people. And in the end, when we look at Hebrews, we see Jacob worshiping, blessing his sons, and leaning upon his staff. What a changed man. An imperfect changed man that yielded to the call. And in him, God brought about spiritual reality. Or you think of David. Does anyone think David's perfect? He numbered the people. Not only did he number the people, he set up the murder of Uriah the Hittite just so he could have his wife. Not perfect. But a man after God's own heart. And when you read the book of Acts, the most extraordinary thing is said about David. His whole legacy to me is summed up in one verse, that he served the purpose of God in his generation. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Don't think for a moment this excludes you. Don't think for a moment that you're excluded just because you're not one of great power, that you consider what an overcomer should be. Their secret was they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And then it says, not only that, and by reason of the word of their testimony. You know, when I was saved in years ago, some of you children weren't even around. In 1972, when I was saved, we used to have big testimony meetings. And sometimes we would get different ones, and we'd outdo each other with our testimony on how awful we had been and how great the salvation of the Lord was. And our testimony, pretty soon it would start to sound like the testimony is all about you. Well, these ones, their secret of overcoming is not their testimony. The word of their testimony is that phrase that is contained in the book of Revelation 4 or 5 times. The testimony of Jesus. That was their secret. Brothers and sisters, if we for a moment think we are the secret, we're lost from the beginning. But it seems to me that the testimony that we need is just like these. This is how they overcame. This is their secret. It's by the word of their testimony. Jesus is everything was the word of their testimony. The Lord Jesus is everything. Praise God, He saved me for what I am. Praise God, He gave me life. Praise God, He did that. But Jesus is the substance and the source of everything. These imperfect vessels discovered that secret. And that's the secret, it seems to me, of overcoming. I'll never forget when I was first saved and I began to read the Word of God, just kept reading the Word of God. One day I discovered Philippians 1:21, Paul's testimony. And that word struck me. I remember the impact it had. It's the one Bible verse I have up now in my foyer. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." That's their testimony. It's not like Christ. It's not imitation Christ. It's not trying to do what he says. Paul's secret, his only secret, and the testimony of his overcoming was, "For me to live is Christ." I remember when I met Brother Jerry, and I didn't know anything about Watchman Nee at that time, and we shared the book, Normal Christian Life. I didn't know anything about Normal Christian Life. And I remember opening the pages, the front cover of that book, and seeing written in that book, "For me to live is Christ." That's the overcoming life. That's the Christian life. That was their secret. And that needs to be our secret. Paul told the same thing to the Galatian believers. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." So many people are expending so much energy trying to live the Christian life. And one of the most encouraging things to me about this whole series on spiritual exercise was, we can't live the Christian life. There's only one that can live the Christian life. And the secret to overcoming is not you living, but Christ living in you. That's overcoming. That's spiritual reality. And then finally, it says of them, "And they have not loved their lives even unto death." This is the third secret. Sounds a bit arcane, doesn't it? Didn't love their lives even unto death. Brothers and sisters, this is a real secret. I think the reason we don't overcome, a big part of it is we love ourselves so much. There's a whole new teaching that began probably after 74 about the emphasis was on, as Christians, we need to love ourselves. I don't think there's any such teaching in the Word of God. I am sorry if that offends some of you that so embrace that teaching. They take Matthew 22, verse 37, when the Pharisees came and challenged the Lord Jesus, and they said, "Good teacher, what is the greatest of the commandments?" And he said, "The first is that you'll love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and strength. This is the greatest and the first commandment." And he said, "The second is like it. You will love your neighbor as yourself." Upon these two commandments, all the law and the prophets hang. Now, we've somehow made a third commandment, love ourselves. Actually, the Bible teaches us that love of self is assumed. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It doesn't command us to love ourselves. So many Christians make themselves the center of the universe. Everything that God does is for me and about me. And everything in my life, it revolves around what I get out of things. I'll never forget, I've told this story so many times. If Linda hears it again, she'll throw a hymn book at me. But I'll suffer the injury. I remember riding down Huguenot Road one day and saw on the back of a car a bumper sticker that said, "I am the center of the universe." I couldn't believe it. I might think it. I might act like it. Everyone believes it's true of me, but never would I put such a bumper sticker on my car. Somehow, we've made ourselves the center. It says of these dear, simple, imperfect ones that they had a secret. They love not their life, even unto death. And I know there are those sitting in this room that think the message of the cross is heavy. But let me say this to you. Live under the tyranny of the self-life just a little bit longer, and you will long for the message of the cross. The message of the cross is not heavy at all. The message of the cross is where God made a way that I no longer need to live. Is a message that liberates me, that sets me free, that I am not the center of the universe. And we can be like these dear ones that overcame, that love not their lives even unto death. It says in 2 Timothy 3:2, a mark of the last days would men would be lovers of self rather than lovers of God. And the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 38, and he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he who has lost his life, for my sake shall find it. This was their secret. They lost their life in the Lord Jesus. They didn't love their lives even into death. That doesn't mean they went out and were all martyred. It means simply that the Lord Jesus was everything. I think we would be a far stronger people if we knew that principle. This was their secret. I think everybody, let me close with this. Everybody's heard the story of D.L. Moody. And heard the part that he was so convicted of. You know, D.L. Moody was a pretty ordinary guy. You may be a great fan of his and be offended that I would say such a thing, but he was a farm boy and a shoe salesman. Now, no offense if you're a shoe salesman, by the way. Just that little qualifier. And then God got hold of him. And then there's the story that he went to London to meet with George Mueller. When he was at a prayer meeting, this fella, unknown to most of us, Henry Varley, said a word. Now, most of us know the end of that word, but I'm not sure we know all of it. And I think when we talk about overcoming, this, we can see how this ordinary man was transformed to become an extraordinary overcomer and maybe the greatest evangelist that ever lived. Varley was speaking at this prayer meeting. He said this. He said, we try hard. That's what we think overcoming is, don't we? We try hard. We fail. We have some success. And we fail again and we try harder. It was sort of like that car rental place. We try harder. That's overcoming. And if we succeed, it is only a half success. Half of what it would be if it had been through God. And then this famous quote that many of us have heard. The world has yet to see what God can do with one who is wholly committed to Him. That word rung in Moody's heart. He left that prayer meeting. He was never the same. He heard the call. And he discovered with what Varley had earlier said, we try and we fail. And the only real success is one who gives themselves wholly to God. You may think that's impossible. but it's not. And this is the secret of those that overcame. May the Lord help us as we go to the conference. May the Lord breathe life into this. I'm afraid we've been to so many conferences, we come away with themes and not reality. But I believe this year there's a different spirit. May the Lord help us. Lord, we commit to You Your Word. Our burden is that You will help us to really enter into spiritual reality. Oh, we're so thankful You're not looking for the perfect, that we are included. We're so thankful there is a secret with those that fear Jehovah, and we want to know that secret. So we offer ourselves to You. We commit ourselves to You. Lord, we say we can't, but You can. We say, Lord, sometimes we're not even willing, but today we want to say we're willing. And we want to be those that You can say of, in the end, they overcame. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.